Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. We've got a good show lined up for you straight ahead. First up, we got Richard Brookhiser with us, ladies and gentlemen. He is the author of What Would the Founders Do? That's an outstanding book that's been out for a while. He also wrote an outstanding book on Alexander Hamilton. He also wrote Rediscovering George Washington, which is just a watershed book on the founder of our country. He's an award-winning journalist. And now his new book is called Washington on Leadership, which is something, you know, when you combine the father of our country with leadership ideas that you and I can benefit from, it doesn't get any better than that for me. So let's get him in here. Richard Brookhiser, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. By the way, you'll find this interesting. On this day in 1777, the Marquis de Lafayette arrived in the American colonies to help with the rebellion against the British.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? On this day, that was a big day, wasn't it?
Well, he was probably Washington's best friend. They just bonded instantly. Washington had no children, and the Marquis de Lafayette had lost his father when he was 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some gaps looking to be filled. He would also turn out to be important to Washington as a leader, and he's actually in my book in one of the discussions. My book is all topical. It's like a series of questions and problems that any leader faces, and the discussion is all, how did George Washington handle this problem? And Lafayette comes up in the discussion of allies.
Right.
And these are people that any leader needs, is going to have to need, and these are people who are just, they cover your back.
Right, right.
You know, people, in bad situations.
Well, I learned in the last few weeks, I've learned about the difference between a good friend and a best friend. You know the difference?
Mm-hmm. What's that?
A good friend will bail you out of jail.
Right.
Your best friend will be sitting beside you saying, "Darn, that was fun." So was Lafayette a good friend or a best friend?
He was a best friend, and it was there were moments in the Revolution when Washington had critics, and when they were after him. I mean, there weren't many. He was mostly very popular,
right, and revered
for good reason. But there were times when things were going badly. People were losing patience. There were also other officers who were envious and ambitious for themselves.
Right.
And one of these was a man named Thomas Conway. And despite his name, he was a Frenchman. His family had moved to France when he was an infant. And he thought he was just a better general than Washington and should be running the show.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some people in Congress who were, getting a little tired of the length of the war and some of the defeats we had had. And they thought, well, let's check this Conway guy out. And so it was particularly important in that that period that Washington have other officers who said, no, look, this is the guy. And especially important to have another French officer to say that, because France was our ally. Conway was a Frenchman. And here was Lafayette, whom everybody thought admired for his heroism, saying, oh, no, how can you possibly get rid of the hero you already have, and don't pick this guy.
Right.
And then in the end, Conway was, a bit of a boob and overplayed his hand, and so it all fell apart. But you need your allies.
Right.
You can't be alone at the top.
And you've got to learn how to be an ally. You can't just have allies. You got to be an ally, don't you?
Well, you do. Although, there's another part of it is that gratitude cannot be a blank check.
Mm-hmm.
And there comes a, a rather painful moment when Washington is president. This is years later, and France has had its revolution.
Oh, yeah.
And Lafayette is one of the leaders mm-hmm. of it. And at first, you know, America is thrilled. I mean, here's our ally. They're going to have a freer system.
Modeling their system after ours, hopefully.
That's yeah. right. And Lafayette, the hero over here, he's going to be the hero over there. But it doesn't work out that way. Their problems are just too serious. Their revolution takes a very bad turn. Mm-hmm. Lafayette has to leave the country, but he is considered a revolutionary by other European countries, and he is thrown into an Austrian jail for a number of years and treated rather harshly. And in this situation, Washington wants to help him out, but he's president of a country, and can he pick a fight with the Emperor of Austria, even for the sake of his dearest friend?
Right. And of course, they were at war with, and they were also having difficulties with England, which he was trying to maintain good relationships with.
That's right. Not pick another fight with England. So he does write a private letter to the Austrian Emperor, you know, pleading Lafayette's case. But that's the most he feels he can do, and it takes him a while to do that.
Which happens in small business, Richard, when someone works for you for a long time, and they're your friend, you know their kids, you know a lot about them, they know a lot about you, and you've been close a long time in a small business, but then this employee winds up not being able to, you know, they wind up being ineffective, and eventually, you know, somebody has to say, this boss has to say, you know what, we can no longer work together, you're going to mm-hmm. have to go somewhere else. These things
mm-hmm.
happen in life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A similar thing happened with another dear friend of Washington's, Henry Knox, and they went mm-hmm. they went through the war together. Knox was brilliant in the war. He was America's artillery commander. Did a great job. Washington makes him Secretary of War when he's president. He gets off to a good start there. But then he turns more and more to his land investments. He's got a lot mm-hmm. of land in Maine,
right.
And he spends a lot of time up there looking after those. And then at the end of Washington's life, we have a war scare. It looks like we may go to war with France.
Right.
We never actually do, but that's
right.
fear. And Washington has to find some officers to serve under him, and he puts Knox at a lower rank
right.
than he should be by seniority, because
right.
he's just burned out.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. Come back after these messages. I want to talk about George Washington's failures. Stay with us.
If you leave me now, you'll take away the biggest part of me.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our new friend Richard Brookhiser, the author of Washington on Leadership, one of the world's experts on George Washington, General George Washington, President George Washington, the man, the patriot, the father of our country. What a great calling for you, Richard, to go through your life, your career, following the story of George Washington. This must be a lot of fun for you. In a lot of ways, I envy you.
Well, you keep learning new stuff. Other historians are working in the field too, and they make new discoveries. One thing I learned for this book was how Washington dealt with smallpox as commander in chief, which you wouldn't think is part of the job description, but there was a smallpox outbreak around Boston at the same time that the Revolutionary
right.
War begins.
Right.
And this was a deadly disease, and vaccination had not been invented
mm-hmm.
yet.
Yeah.
The best they could do is give you a case of it, and
right.
then your odds of dying were much less.
Right.
But people also didn't like to do that because,
mm-hmm.
you know, why roll the dice? And Washington realized, I discussed this under the chapter on surprises, you know, well, here it
right.
is, General, you have to deal with this. And his final solution was inoculating his whole army, giving mm-hmm. all of them cases of smallpox so they'd have the immunity.
Right.
But this what this showed to me was his flexibility in approaching problems.
Mm-hmm.
His goals were rock solid, but to get there, you know, you'd try one thing, and if that
and he was a risk taker too. That shows that he was willing to evaluate the risk reward scenarios and make a decision. I want to, before we get through here, Richard, I want to make sure we talk about his failures, because everybody knows about all the great leaders' successes, but I like for my small business audience to realize that every great person you've ever heard about who accomplished great things and we still revere them for, every one of them, when you know more about them, you realize that they had failures. Henry Ford was 51 after five failures before he invented the Ford Motor Company as you knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things. So tell us about some of Washington's failures.
It's interesting to look at his business career because there is a long running failure in part of it. He inherits the Mount Vernon plantation when an older brother dies, and when he gets it, it's a tobacco plantation, and tobacco is a prestige crop. It's like wine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are different qualities of tobacco, and if yours is good, you know, that reflects well on you, and if it's better, that reflects even better on you. So there's a lot of competition and pride invested in this. And he does tobacco for about 6 years, and then he gets out of it because he realizes he's just not getting the prices he needs
mm-hmm.
to maintain himself. He is sliding into debt. And this is a tough decision for a Virginia planter.
Right.
I mean, very tough. It would be like, you know, a Kentucky horse breeder deciding to raise
cows or grow sheep or something. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. So, but he does it. He goes to wheat. He fishes the Potomac. He diversifies. And that keeps Mount Vernon afloat for about 10 years, really, up to the beginning of the Revolutionary
mm-hmm.
War. And then when he goes away to fight and then goes away for 8 more years to be president, that starts a long slide for Mount Vernon that it never really recovers from as a money earner. And if that was the only thing he was doing, he might well have ended up bankrupt Thomas Jefferson.
Like Jefferson did. But one of the failures I was thinking...
What he also had, he was doing land speculation all
mm-hmm.
his life.
Because he was a surveyor by trade.
Yes, and the first money he earns, puts aside when he's 18, he buys 1,500 acres.
Right.
And he just keeps on and on and on. And by the time he dies, he has 60,000.
Wow.
So he is able to die solvent and, among other things, free his slaves in his
will. Of the things, though, that I wanted to point out is he failed in the military, his military experience early on.
He reinvented himself.
And see, this is what small business owners are having to do right now. When they fail and when they see what they've been doing isn't working, they've got to reinvent themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the Revolutionary War, he loses as many battles as he wins. But
prior to that...
And how could he not? He's fighting the greatest superpower
mm-hmm.
in the world, and
mm-hmm.
he's the general of this little country that's never had an army before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, naturally there's a lot of potential for defeat. There's one day in 1776 he loses 2,800 men in mm-hmm. one morning, and this is there in the northern tip of Manhattan in a fort which he thought could be held, and which
mm-hmm.
the man, you know, Nathaniel Greene, his general who was immediately in charge of this, said, fine, this fort can hold out, and they'd just been to look at it, and then they realized, no, it can't.
Yep.
But the British are coming. There's nothing we can do. And 2,800 men get captured. Devastating. Someone who was there said he wept like a child.
Yep.
But you keep going.
The book is called George Washington on Leadership. It's available wherever books are sold right now, right, Richard?
That's right.
So check it out, folks. Is there a website, Richard?
No, there isn't.
Okay. Richard Brookhiser is the author, folks, and we're going to get Richard back another day. We got more to talk to him about this. Thanks, Richard. See you next time.
Thank you.
Quick break. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
Billy makes it fast with one more thing.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.